Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
How are you today, Doc?
I am doing great. Happy New Year and happy birthday to Mary Vandeveld, right?
Yeah.
Thank
it
you,
is
Doctor,
a new year.
Oh, oh, you're very ahead, welcome.
Did you bring her a present, Sterling?
I brought her, 20 minutes of glorious pharmaceutical knowledge. Happy birthday, Mary.
Thank you.
I think we're all waiting for that cake from Steve, too.
Yes, huh? We are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Time's ticking.
We'll be waiting forever on that one. So, Sterling, I got into a conversation with John Williams about the Wegovy pill. The idea is for the weight loss drug to be taken every day as opposed to a weekly shot. What do you know about this?
Yeah, I'm still learning a little bit about how the dosing goes. The dosing is going to be in a lot more increments, it looks like, than what those of you who've taken the injection are used to. And some of those early doses are going to be the starting doses. And you're going to work your way up just as you did with the injection. And then eventually you're going to get to, I believe it's a 25 milligram maintenance dose that's going to be that dose. And so, you know, you and I were talking about pricing. And I heard you and John talking about pricing and throwing around some different numbers. And what I'm reading is that the initial prices for some of those starting doses is where we're going to see that $149 for a 1 month supply. And then as you move up into the higher doses and when you get to the maintenance dose, it would be $299 is what I'm seeing being reported as the maintenance dose pricing. And of course, those are what we call cash prices for patients that don't have insurance. So for folks out there that have prescription drug insurance, those costs may be less for you as you might be accustomed to as well with the injection.
So what is a maintenance dose? So it's my understanding that with the injections, it's 2.5, 5, 7, 10, 12, and then do you go into a maintenance dose or is it higher than that?
Yeah, no, that's typically what we're talking about when we use the term maintenance dose. It's that dose that you end up at that you give yourself routinely on whatever frequency you're dosing the medication, and you don't make any additional adjustments. And so those starting doses where we're moving up in strength are largely there to get you to a point where we know you can tolerate the effects of the drug and get the weight loss. And I heard you and John talking a little bit about side effects, and you hear a lot of people who take these drugs talk about those side effects. And that's what we call it titrating the drug dose upward. That's what that upward titration is for, is to make sure that with increasing amounts of the drug being given, you're still tolerating some of those pretty uncomfortable side effects that come from it. A lot of people have, you know, gotten in touch with us and told us about the nausea, the vomiting, problems with either.
Constipation is what a lot of people online are talking about.
Well, sure, there's constipation, but then there's also a lot of people that struggle with diarrhea as well. So those are all the reasons that we're looking at moving the drug dose upward for you before we settle on one that's going to affect the weight loss. Now, you're going to feel some of those effects, but hopefully they won't be so bad that you feel like you can't tolerate it.
So I think, you know, I've never greatly understood exactly how they work because I thought it worked on your brain. And then at one time you told me, or I believe on this show we discussed, that you said it actually works on moving the food slower through your system. So what is it that this pill or this shot does?
Well, if it makes you feel any better, we're all learning a lot about what these things do.
Okay.
What we know they do for certain is that they adjust your appetite downward. So you're looking for less volume of food in order to feel satisfied, right? So there's that element. They are also making some adjustments to the way your digestive tract moves the food product through your body. And so for that reason, that's why you feel like you need to take in less food over time, and with less intake and maintaining and or building up exercise, you're burning off more more calories. Now, what we've come to learn, and this is the subject you and I have talked about, some of the different studies that are out there looking at this drug and how they're thinking about using it in things like treating addiction and things like that. We're also coming to believe that these drugs will, in effect, sort of downregulate some of your brain's desire for certain satisfaction and certain stimulation. And so from that standpoint, it may also reduce the degree to which people are sort of craving food.
Interesting. It is interesting that we're still learning about it. And I think that's the concern for many people is what will we know 20 years from now? But we do know that these drugs have been used with people with diabetes for many years, right?
Oh, there's no question. This is using these drugs for the treatment of diabetes has been an evolving course in that role of care. And we've come to learn that using these drugs for patients with diabetes, especially patients with type 2 diabetes, is very effective in maintaining some of the longer measure of blood glucose, what we call the hemoglobin A1C measurement. I mean, you're also going to see better numbers with your glucose that you take at the time you stick your finger or that your continuous blood glucose monitor pulls up. So we've known that for a while, and we've always known that it affects weight loss in those patients. And for patients with diabetes, oftentimes losing weight can be a very valuable tool to improve health outcomes.
Right, right. Absolutely. All right. You're such a wealth of information. We have a bundle of questions coming in. Of course, I think 2025 became a year where there was a big discussion about menopause, how it can be treated, how it affects you in your workplace and that type of thing. So we have a question about that, questions about antidepressants that can be taken with Adderall. That's all on the way with Dr. Sterling Elliott. It's Ask a Pharmacist Day on the show. We have a listener who said they've been on Mounjaro for a year, lost 30 pounds, just don't have a taste for food anymore. Another said they've been on a GLP-1 for 3 years, lost 40 pounds, kept it off. They're a nurse. They have no problem with that needle. They're 72, have had minimal side effects. One last question, and let's make it quick on this one, because now we're all seeing the ads on TV, Sterling, and you start going, what? How does it affect your thyroid?
I think that in general, when you affect your nutritional status, you're going to affect the thyroid. And so the thyroid sort of adjusts and it sends out, it sort of regulates a lot of hormones going through the body, and it adjusts the way your body tends to react to resetting its metabolic rate. And so when you change your intake and burning habits, you can certainly adjust the thyroid that way.
And someone wants to know, does it matter if it's injected in your stomach, your thigh, your triceps, where it's injected?
No. In fact, you can and you should alternate the different sites where you inject. The big thing is that you want to be able to inject in a point where there's a sizable amount of fat pad underneath the skin, because the idea is to give this what we call subcutaneously, which is a fancy way of saying get it in under the skin and in the fat area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's a question for Dr. Sterling Elliott. They said, and this is serious, because I read it too and I thought, oh, are they joking? Is lip licking and or grunting newly happening a neurological problem, which I know you cannot diagnose, but have you ever heard of anything like that?
The answer is I've heard of things like that. That's something that really you need to address with a physician that's taking care of you. And yeah, it is. No, it is serious, because when it's one of those behaviors that becomes more routine than you're normally used to, it's always worth taking note of it and bringing it forward to your doctor. Potentially, are there imbalances maybe with the electrolytes, things like your sodium and your potassium and things like that? Could be an indicator of those things. But I think that's an issue that I would certainly encourage the texter to you know, go ahead and address with the doc.
Okay. Are there any antidepressants that can be taken with Adderall that won't ruin my teeth? The gum recession is terrible, and I've lost 3 molars already.
I saw that question in there. It's not a question that I've had thrown out a lot over, you know, over the course of time. And it may have to do with some of the changes in the gum tissue and the way it reacts, especially as you change some of the neurochemical transmissions in your body. I mean, that really, to be honest with you, first of all, I think is something that you want to bring to the dentist and to see what the dentist knows, because maybe the dentist can give you some guidance on why he or she thinks you're seeing that. And then we can get back to addressing whether or not it's issues related to the antidepressant meds as well as the ADHD meds.
Okay. Another one said, please ask the pharmacist about their opinion or thoughts of the patch for menopause. Effective, side effects, reliable. I didn't know they were still doing patches.
Well, it's a question that's sort of rising now in importance. And the reason is that you're right, Lisa. For a long time, we didn't do patches. Patches, when we use them to treat menopause, are hormone supplementation. And for a long, long time, we thought we had a really good body of literature out there, which told us that we had to be really judicious with the women in whom we used hormone replacement therapy. There's a lot of concern about the possibility of elevated risk of heart attacks and things like that. There's been some newer information that's come out within the last year to 18 months, which has sort of led us to believe that we probably should have been more extensive with our use of hormone replacement therapy. And the patch is a really effective way to do that for a lot of women. And so I think we're going to see more and more women in menopause being offered hormone replacement therapy.
I'm so glad that this is a focus now, because it really is a struggle. And for years, women did not talk about it. I have been cancer-free. My date was December 17th, so I celebrated 27 years of cancer-free. But on December 18th of 1998, I remember being in the hospital, waking up, and my oncologist coming in and saying, "Who put that patch on you?" And she took it and just ripped it off. And I was like, I'm still hooked up to all kinds of stuff. And I go, what is going on? And there was a debate because I, you know, had a radical hysterectomy because of endometriosis and uterine cancer.
Yep.
And one doctor wanted me on it because I went into instant menopause. I was in my 30s. And my oncologist was like, no, this is a cancer causer. You're not doing it. And it was a big discussion back then, and I feel we haven't progressed all that much.
Well, for a long time, that was, for lack of a better term, the status quo of the thinking when it came to hormone replacement therapy and its use of those medications in women with menopause. Like I said, the emerging information is really no more than 18 months old in that. As long as it came out, and then it takes time for us to digest it and start really looking at how we're going to use it. And so what we're seeing now is a sort of a change in the pattern and a belief that we should be offering it to more women than fewer.
Okay. Here's another question. Can you ask the pharmacist a good collagen for bone building that is allergen free and gluten free?
It's a great question. I'll be honest with you. There's so much out there in the supplement aisle. And now with the advent of, you know, things being available through the internet, there's a ton of stuff out there. Collagen for bone building has never really, I don't know a lot about it as something that's been really helpful. I can tell you that the two supplement agents that have been out there for the longest time that are thought to be the most helpful for it are things like glucosamine and chondroitin. They're more for joint health, and they're probably better at affecting cartilage, soft tissue development and health. Bone building is really sort of a tricky thing. And generally, as humans get older, we experience more bone loss than we do bone building, unfortunately.
So many text messages are coming in about the weight loss drugs, as they always do, because I think there's so little information. I mean, everybody wants them. In fact, I remember going through this. Someone just said, my insurance won't cover me until I'm total diabetic. I'm pre-diabetic now, so I'm working on becoming a diabetic. Now, that changed, right? Because didn't Zepbound come out as just a weight loss drug? So therefore, the insurance companies, I thought, caught up with that.
Well, right. And so that's what I was just going to sort of take us down that path, and you did, and that's terrific. A lot of these GLP-1 drugs exist in two different formulations with two different brand names. And the reason they exist that way is that one of those formulations is to treat diabetes, where the other is designed to treat weight loss, whether or not there's diabetes present. So if you're using something, for instance, like Ozempic, that is the same active ingredient as Wegovy. Ozempic is the agent that's designed to treat diabetes. Wegovy is the agent that's approved for weight loss treatment. And so for those that are looking to lose weight without a diagnosis of diabetes, Wegovy is the item that we would hopefully be looking towards. Similarly, with Eli Lilly's products, that's Mounjaro and Zepbound. Zepbound is your agent for weight loss. Mounjaro is your agent to treat diabetes.
Okay, perfect. Always lovely to have you in on the first Monday of every month. And thanks for taking our call in between when we've got a serious question.
Absolutely.
That is Dr. Sterling Elliott, clinical pharmacist at Northwestern Medicine, and here for Ask a Pharmacist Day, the first Monday of every month.